Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy. Lisa Murphy, before we get into this, I got a weird piece of, you know how I bring you creepy pieces of technology once in a while?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so
sometimes you send them in the mail.
there is a new piece of technology out from Amazon called the Amazon Halo. Have you heard of this thing yet?
I have not.
It's a fitness tracker, and it's pretty. Let's see if I can get it up on to share.
Is it telling me that I'm not doing a good job staying healthy?
Well, yeah, it'll be doing that.
And I don't care.
And so it's Fitbit, like, but it doesn't have a face on it. It's pretty much just a wristband, and it measures things like steps and calories and all this kind of stuff. But also it has what they call, it measures your tone.
A voice,
Lisa Murphy.
Oh, then I would break mine.
And so the way they came up with the algorithms, I guess, is they listened and had actual humans rate just these little audio clips of people. And then they built this computer algorithm that evaluated billions and millions of people's voice. And it comes up. And so it'll label your tone of voice as content or hesitant or angry. And these
simulated.
Yeah, and give you those readouts, and this is something you can opt into or out of with the device. But one, sounds kind of creepy, huh?
Well, two, yes, to the creepy. So maybe 1A, you know, they got this data from your phones when you're not even on your phone, but they're listening to you anyway.
Well, absolutely,
so
sure.
In case anybody wasn't really convinced yet that's actually how that all worked. But yeah, it's wicked creepy.
And so part of it is you'll be able to get readouts about, okay, during this part of the day, and then you'll be able to tell, oh, I was on a phone call with my boss and I was sounding kind of testy and petulant or whatever it is. And the thought of this is it helps you kind of track your mood, but also how you're interacting with other people. Because you'll be able to.
Yeah, but could you imagine somebody being like in a conversation and they're like, you were so mean to me. And you're like, I was not. And then they pull out their phone and they're like, bullshit, bitch. At 10:02, you were totally escalated based on this diagram and this. You'll never win a fight ever again or an argument.
So
that's done.
And so I think it's totally creepy. And I kind of want to get one to test it out.
On a podcast. Could you imagine like if it registers like your real emotion, but not what you're portraying? But Lisa,
I think it's less than 100 bucks.
And you're like, no, that wasn't my favorite episode, but really it was your favorite episode.
But so imagine adults wearing these in work with children, and then actually being reflective on the tone that they were using with kids.
We were doing that before. Okay, let's go back to Vivian Paley, who used to record herself old school and would listen to the tapes at the end of the day. And if that's going to make you better. So here's what I'm going to say. All my snark from the last 2 minutes aside. If a device like this or technology like this or software platform, whatever language, is going to assist you in being more human in your connection with the children and the families. I don't care what you have strapped to your wrist at the end of the day. At the end of the day, if that's the goal and objective, is this going to assist me in making more authentic connection? You could strap six of them to your wrist for all I care. But are you really going to use it for that?
Well, and that's the thing. I think it's an interesting idea for a tool. And if you start adjusting yourself based on the feedback you get from this thing, is it really making you more human or is it making you more machine? And is the technology good enough that it could tell you are faking being pleasant with the child to get the right reading, or is it giving you a real?
And I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with that, but
I really want to get one and try it out. Right.
Well, then, and to that, then
I totally might need to do that because I mean, I don't know if it, do you get points for the fake teacher voice that we always make fun of? What if that gets you a good rating with the Amazon Halo? And then we've got people walking around using that tone with kids all the time. That would make my eyes bleed.
But to that, okay, so this, there's actually room here for a study because all of Vivian Paley's tapes you can still listen to. I'm sure. All of those of us who are not so old, well, who are older, I have still the tapes. Like you could listen to them and tell through your own human ear with no software, authentic, not escalated, truly escalated, about to prevent something from happening versus like, get your ass over here. Like you can hear that as a person listening to another person.
Yeah,
if you are dialed in enough just to people, not even as a teacher, you can tell. You can just walk through the grocery store blindfolded using only your ears and tell agitated, happy, escalated, excited and loud versus loud and pissed off. You can tell.
We're almost like we're good at deciphering that kind of thing as humans, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's almost like there's a couple years
almost
of evolution.
Like maybe that's why we're still here as a species.
But I
think that a little bit goes to, I can't say like I've been saying this lately because I haven't been, but I've been saying it my entire presenting life, is when did we start outsourcing everything?
Yeah.
I mean, everything. We've outsourced everything. We've outsourced. I mean, I don't even need to really make an example, but it's like we lost trust in our ability just to be human.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that is one of the reasons that I find this device kind of scary, but also it's kind of intriguing as a potential tool for just kind of being aware.
Yeah, but I get, and maybe this is just me being like old and get off my lawn, but then do you start then trusting the algorithm and the data and not your gut?
Yeah, exactly. And on the
other- It says right here that she was happy.
Uh-huh.
When you know damn well she was not.
And on the other side of that, I'd like to throw in that there are plenty of people working in this field who trust their guts, who don't have trustworthy guts. So it takes a while to build up you got to have some reps behind you before you have a gut you can trust, right?
Trusting.
A trustable gut, because there are all kinds of people.
But isn't there, could we also then argue, just to keep this analogy going, is that that's why you always want to have a couple people around you, right? People who can sidebar you.
Yeah.
People who can, like, you know, what do I like to say? Guardrail you back and be like, oh yeah. Like you were a little off today, but I was 100% spot on and I trust you and you trust me. So when I moved in, you didn't push back because you knew that maybe I was like kind of tapping you out. But again, it goes back to relationship and connection and trust. As It always
so does. Maybe this is software that needs to be installed on the classroom drones that I think every program should have. So not only would that drone be hovering over, each child would have their own drone hovering over them. So it'd catch them.
A drone nanny?
A monkey
what
bone.
Would we call that? A droney?
Yeah.
A drone nanny?
And so the teacher's version of the drone would just kind of hover over his or her head. And every time they started using a tone with a child, it would just send out an electric, just a taser. I mean, not like 50,000 volts, but just kind of like.
God damn it!
Like,
I wasn't being mean.
Yeah, I guess it would be dependent on how sharp a tone they were using, and just kind of bring them back in.
I don't know, man. There's people
talk about guardrails.
Super sweet, but they're like, that is the ugliest outfit I've ever seen in my life, and that wouldn't maybe register on a tone device.
I don't know. Maybe I'll get myself one for Christmas.
You should. And you know what? Then let's start playing with
it. Start playing with it. So for the balance of this episode, Lisa Murphy, I want to talk to you about measuring stuff that would help you understand the quality or the level of actual play you've got going on in your program. And so because having some empirical evidence about how you're doing is kind of a valuable thing, right?
It is if you're willing to act on the evidence that you're attempting to collect or are collecting.
Sure. And I'm going to just throw it out there that if you're going to take the time to maybe even think about collecting some data points on this, that you're maybe going to be reflective afterwards, and that the whole process itself might be useful. But what would you measure in a playful environment to help show you as the practitioner and other people, whether it's funders or parents, that this program is actually beneficial?
You're not the first person who's asked this. And in the effort of full disclosure, Jeff asked me this question before this started. And I was like, time, next question. Like that's to me is it. If there's no time. I was on TV once doing an interview and they were like, what is the, like they like waxed poetic. If you were to open a center, all funding and no obstacles, what is the one thing that you would ensure and make sure had to be there? And I didn't know they were going to ask that question, but I really do think while they were asking it, they were waiting for like, is it going to be blocks? Is it going to be bikes? Is it going to be dress up? Like what's the thing going to be? And I looked at them and I took a breath and I said the same exact thing I just told you is time. If there's no time, nothing can happen.
Okay,
it doesn't matter what's on the shelves. Do the children have time to explore the space, the stuff, regardless of the stuff doesn't matter. But if there's no time, you can't get to what we might call play. And also with the time factor, some of what I think is play is not necessarily what adults would classify as play. That pre-play, the negotiation piece, the you go over here and then you walk in and then you say this and then you go over there and then you get that. Like all of that negotiating is still play. Mm-hmm. And if you only have 30 minutes, 20 minutes, you're still deciding if Mackenzie is going to be the boss of this direction of this drama this time. Just because she was yesterday doesn't mean she's going to be today. I think if there's no time and that's not to negate or take away from the connection piece, the relationship piece that we are always, always reinforcing. But I think when it comes to like a laundry list of what do you need to make sure is there? What would you want to measure is the amount of time that you give children, because with that comes the choice piece. Because I really still do believe that it's not necessarily play that we're so passionate about. It's making sure that children have time to make choices, which leads to what we as adults, play advocates, would call play.
All right. Now to make the question a little bit harder, so the program you've done that, you've measured time, and the first time you measured it, you found out that you didn't have as much time for play as you thought, and so you spent 6 months with your team building a more play friendly time periods. And so now you're in a place where you've got all the time in the day. You have some rest time or potential rest time, and you've got time to eat. But other than that, child led all day long, what do you measure next?
Ooh. The threshold in which adults are comfortable or uncomfortable with those long play periods.
Ooh. Interesting. How do we measure that?
Well, now let's go back to trust of self-disclosure of connection and relationship. Do I have people on board that I can trust are honest? And of that, like, I was willing to let this go, but after 10 minutes, I was crawling out of my skin. I let it go because I believe in it, but it was making me crazy. That would be curious to me, but that's the nerd thing. Like, would that really be something that you'd need to gather data on to make sure that the program was good? I don't know, but that was the first thing that jumped in my head when you asked that question.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, that parents, mindset parental, of the adults in the space is important.
It is. Maybe perhaps a third to that would be something about how long our perspective, is that right? Perspective families, like they're not yet enrolled, but they might be. Is that perspective?
Perspective.
Yeah. How long before they said something? Like, if I chose to not be explaining too much, how long into the tour
before the
parents start asking? Like, that would be curious to me to measure. How long before during the tour, how long before the adult doing the tour felt that they had to say something?
To kind of explain. Yeah. Do the explaining. Yeah.
But I'm not sure if that would really be guiding the program. I think that's more of my just kind of nerd brain being curious about things like that.
I would want to measure. I think I'd want to measure joy.
Which, see, my measures, you could actually measure.
You could actually measure, right. And the stuff that we can measure isn't always the stuff.
You're just wanting to circle back to that awesome quote. Not everything that's measurable counts, and not everything that counts is measurable.
Oh, I hadn't even thought that quote wasn't even in my notes, but
shut up. I thought you were trying to be clever and circle back.
No, I mean, the reason that's a cool quote is because it's totally true. I think so many of the things that you might want to measure when you start picking it apart are things that are really challenging to
how
measure.
Do you measure whether
how
or not
measure,
the kids
how would
want
you measure joy
here? How would you measure joy? Laughter, because you have like a scale, like one of those applause meters of like your heart. I mean,
we were just talking about this Amazon thing. Is that an algorithm that gets poured into something that's measuring the voice levels of the people interacting program?
These days, it wouldn't surprise me. But Bev Boz used to say, how awesome would it be if the kids ran into the building with the same level of excitement that they run out of the school building? So how could you, I mean, could you measure that? You probably could. I mean, there's a lot of smart people in this world who could probably figure that out. But we talk about that, measuring joy, measuring satisfaction. And I would also, nerd, gathering that kind of, let's say, subjective data from an adult, or even probably somebody maybe 10, 11, 12 years old and older, is very different than from a child. How do you know? Because we all do. Everybody listening, if you said, how do you know the baby doesn't mind being here? You can tell, but how do you put that into words? Yeah. And what are you basing that on other than your gut and 30 years of doing this? You know, you can tell. There is a level of intuition in this job.
And is it intuition, or is it just sensory stuff that's going on at a subconscious level that just kind of
Sure.
And so the reality is, in the next 20 years, if it doesn't already exist, there's going to be technology that's a lot better at measuring that than we've ever been able to measure that kind of thing before.
So does that mean that technology is going to be at the heart and soul of what finally says that what we do inherently and instinctually is valid and worthy?
Is
Bezos going to be the one who has to affirm that what we do? I don't know. Is that Google, Amazon? I don't know. I'm getting my names and my brands mixed up.
He is the Amazon guy.
I'm just Jeff, saying.
And Blue Origin, space guy. I don't know. I am really apprehensive about this technology because I find a lot of it really intrusive, and I don't trust the companies to be responsible with all the data they're collecting, and I don't trust how they will use it to profit from it because, I mean, that's their ultimate goal. On the other hand, it looks like these tools, which is what they are becoming pretty effective at measuring these kinds of things.
And people are becoming more okay with them being a part of their world.
Well, and partly because they're becoming so they're a part of their world. Well, they're in a way that we don't even notice. I mean, this Amazon Echo thing, it looks like a wristband. It's no face on it, no nothing, and so it's the technology is so unobtrusive that you get actually a probably much more realistic reaction to it because we forget that it's there.
And look at the name of it, Echo.
Yeah.
And
that's creepy. That's creepy in and of itself. But I know as a profession, I think it would be interesting if we got better at measuring some of these things that point to satisfaction for staff and kids. I don't know if it's ultimately quality we're trying to suss out, but as a profession, we don't measure stuff very well, do we?
It's authenticity is what I would say that we measuring.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering in real time, because clearly I had no idea what you were going to be talking about. But I mean, to some degree, are you looking to say that early childhood might have the responsibility to beat tech to the punch, so to speak? Like, should we get better at identifying what we want to measure before we give yet again another piece of our profession up to people who are just more, I don't know, not savvy, that's not the right word, but you know what I mean. We gave our power up in the 90s. Are we going to give it up again without realizing it?
Who did we give it up to in the 90s?
Oh, we just spent so much time trying to convince everybody that what we did was important.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, we have all these rating scales and accreditation and all this other bullshit.
Well, okay. I guess we've got all those that are good at measuring stuff. So I guess it's already been taken care of, huh?
Well, if you think five identifiable learning centers is something that should be measured.
None of those things are really...
But I think class, okay, if we're going to go down that really quick, but I think class, CLASS as a tool, attempted to measure the connection piece, attempted to measure the relationship piece. And I kind of dropped that off my radar. I know it's still something people use, but when it first rolled out, I remember being at a meeting where they said, it was still beta at the time. And they were like, what class has shown us is that early childhood people do not know how to have conversations with young children. And you're like, oh shit. Like, isn't like our job? But to that, then I'm not going to lie to you. A piece of it was, had we been so distracted by, do we have 5 identifiable learning centers? Do we have 14 categories of puppets in them? That we got so distracted through those other things that people were measuring that we forgot how to do what we inherently brought to the table, which was how to connect and have conversations with young children. Yeah. And, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I just thought it'd be worth thinking about. This has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.